Almost Famous with John Shea. Featuring local and independent musicians from the South Shore, Boston, and New England. On 95.9 WATD.
Welcome to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage Hour, 95.9 WATD, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England, brought to you each week by Tiny and Sons Glass. I'm John Shea. If you're a local band or musician with original music you'd like to hear on the radio, please reach out. You can find all the contact information on the Almost Famous page at 95.9WATD.com. Give me a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Almost Famous Radio and subscribe to the podcast. You can find that by searching Almost Famous WATD wherever you find your podcasts or at AlmostFamousRadio.com. So tonight, I'm being joined in the studio by an old friend. This has been in the works for many, many years. Glad it's finally happening tonight. April Cushman is on the WATD Tiny Stage. How you doing?
I'm great, John. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Welcome.
Thank you.
For those who might not be familiar with you, give yourself an introduction.
I'm a small town Swansea, New Hampshire native and songwriter and live about 2.5 hours from here.
The reason this is happening today is because you're playing a songwriting festival in Scituate, and also you are about to depart to, is it Iceland?
Yeah, I'm going to Iceland tomorrow.
Very cool. So what's going on with that? Give us the details.
So I have been graciously offered a spot to travel with a bunch of the guys down in Nashville, a bunch of hit writers, people that write with a lot of the big names that you hear on radio. And they have a company and an organization called Nashville Nights. And so what they do is they take the country music and the songwriting thing and they bring it over to Denmark and other countries in Europe. And they do the songwriter thing over there. So I get to join them this coming weekend in Iceland. And then we're going to Denmark in September as well.
Fantastic. Best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
For music, there's a lot out there from you. Give us the details on what can be found.
I put out an album, oh man, I think it's been about, I want to say probably 2.5 years now since I've put out a full record. I put out some singles since then, and I'm gearing up for the next album. So I got a full record, a handful of singles out there, and getting more work done as we speak.
So if people want to stay up to date with you and all the progress and pictures maybe from the trip, where's the best place to find you?
Everything's kind of all-encompassed. AprilCushman.com is always the go-to place.
Excellent. And a chance to see you here on the South Shore later on in the month, May 23rd. You're at the Spire Center in Plymouth.
I am. And we're full band, which is really cool because I've been down here to Scituate. I've played some songwriting rounds and stuff down here, but I've never been able to bring the guys down. So we're really excited to do that at the Spire.
Now give the band a plug. Who is in the April Cushman band?
Yeah, so it's me, obviously. My guitarist, Brad Myrick. My bassist, Dino Monoxalis. And our drummer, Phil Sika.
Fantastic. Let's hear some live music. You've got the guitar. I'm excited for this. What are we listening to first?
Let's do it. So the first song I'm going to play for you guys, I'm going to play actually probably a handful of originals that are not released yet. They're just kind of out there waiting in the wing to be on the next record. I do write a lot with Nashville-based songwriters more than anything, but I do write with Isaiah Bennett, who's actually in Portland, Maine. Phenomenal artist and songwriter. And he and I actually got on a Zoom call and we're like, you know, we're both married with kids and, you know, you can take the paintings off the wall in the house that you grew up in and put them on the house that you're living in now. But there's just something special and different about that house that you grew up in. And we're like, man, let's write a nostalgic song about that one. So this one's called Childhood Home.
Let's hear it. We have April Cushman on the WHD Tiny Stage. Whenever you're ready, it's all yours.
I call my own, but nothing feels Picture mama's in the kitchen and dad's out in the yard. The smell of honey chicken and the smoke from his cigar. Well, dinner's on the table at six every night. It's 7 days a week, it's when everything felt right. 'Cause when you're a kid, time is on your side. You don't think about it flying by. Now I got pictures on the wall, a place to call my kid, and time was on my side. I didn't think about it flying by. I got pictures on the wall, a place I call my own. But nothing feels the same. Nothing feels the same. Nothing feels the same as your child.
What a great way to start the night.
Thank
April
you.
April Cushman here on the Tiny Stage, WATD. So your roots are in Swansea, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
New England, at least over the past 10 or so years that I've been doing this radio show, this area has become really a hotspot for country music.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? What is it about this area and country music that kind of influences and inspires?
You see a lot of artists, especially, you know, big names and stuff from the Nashville area and LA and stuff. It's kind of like looking at LA versus Nashville. There's definitely less country in Los Angeles, but I think as far as a hub, Nashville's kind of been the root of country music and, you know, just Dallas and Austin and, you know, Texas in general. But I think in similar ways to Los Angeles, it's kind of like, you know, you have that hub in Nashville, but people are realizing how much they love it up here in the mountains and they love it over here by the ocean. And so I feel like the Boston area is like slowly becoming another little hub. And again, you see artists all over the place that have second houses up here. Lori McKenna's from Stoughton, Massachusetts, you know, and she's going back and forth. For me, the city life, I mean, I'm a farmer, so it's like secluded, quiet, you know, and then you come to the city and it's like, whoa. So I think a lot of artists are seeing and feeling that, you know, you have that city life in Nashville, but then they're like, okay, we want to like get away for a little bit. Let's go to our other home. And then, you know, they come here to the ocean. They don't have that in Nashville. You know, they come to the mountains, which they do have down in Tennessee. But again, Nashville's a very Boston felt thing. So I think, you know, for a lot of people to come up this way, you know, they do have the Boston feel, but then they also have the ocean, they have the mountains. And so you're seeing a lot of that trend, you know, come not just locally here, you know, with New England based artists, but you're seeing it a lot with the bigger acts as well. They're kind of not necessarily going to the West Coast, but coming to the East Coast because there's so many tide roots over here.
Let's travel back to your home base of New Hampshire. When did music first become part of your life? Take us back to the early days of April Cushman.
Music has been in my life since the day I came into this world. My dad grew up playing, both my aunts played. So music's definitely been a big rooted thing in my family. Man, I don't want to give away my age, but I've been playing guitar for about 30 years now, since I was very, very little. It's just one of those things that, you know, my dad would sit down with his guitar and I would just be glued on everything he was saying and doing and playing. And he's like, I remember sitting down and we would sit in the living room, at, you know, late at night. Your sisters would go to bed. I'm the middle child. So my sisters would go to bed and, you know, he would just sneak me out in the living room and we would sit and I would just be just so glued onto his hands on what he was doing and how he could do two different things with his hands at the same time and then sing on top of it. And I was just so pulled in by that. And he was like, you know, you had the drive to be a musician since you were a small toddler. And he's like, you know, this is something that he's just really proud to see still going on. And this has been a lifelong thing for me, and especially born and raised here in New Hampshire. I mean, there's so much music around the Northeast and especially, you know, in the southern part of the state. And I don't know, I've never been able to get away from it, as much as sometimes it drives me nuts. I can't get out of it. It's in my bones.
When did the drive go from hobby to career?
Oh, man. I would have to say probably shortly after I met my husband, and then we had our daughter. She was like one or two. And I remember I did like a spinoff American Idol, but for like the Keene Monadnock region. And they were like, oh, you should try out for this and you should do this. And so I did. And you know, he kind of was like, wait, you can sing and play guitar? Because I like hid it from him for a long time. You know, it just was kind of like the thing that I did as a kid. I closed myself in my room for hours and just play guitar and sing. It wasn't like the forefront of things that he and I had talked about when we first met each other. And it just slowly kind of came out. And he was like, man, like, you've got a gift you could share here. You should do something with it. So I remember one of my first paid gigs, there was a brand new winery. It was called Cameron's Winery down the street from my house. He was like, they're booking acoustic music. You should go do it. And so my payment was a bottle of wine and I was stoked about it. And I went in, you know, for an hour and played a bunch of covers I'd known and got myself out of my shell. And honestly, to look back to where I am now and where I'm going, to look back and see where this publicly kind of became a thing for me, man, that's growth. If that's nothing else, that is real good. That's cool growth. So again, I mean, I owe my father for my career, but really my husband's kind of pushed me along the side and is like, hey, you've got something. You should do something more than just sit in your room and play by yourself. You should get out and share this with the world. So here we are.
What a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Let's continue with your music. What are we listening to next?
Oh, man. So one of the really cool things that has happened over the last year or so, Lainey Wilson is a big old name in the country music scene. And she, about a year and a half ago, had posted on, I think I saw it on Instagram or TikTok. And she was like, I'm an ambassador for Tractor Supply. And it's the life out here and being a farmer and all these things. And we're trying to find the most unrecognizable emerging artists that have something to give that could potentially be something big. So we're putting out a search. So here's a link. Submit your original song, a video, all your information. Who inspires you? What inspires you? I remember seeing it and I sent the link to my husband. I was like, do you think I should submit to this? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, well, think about the millions of people that are going to submit to this. There is no way in heck that I'm going to come anywhere near being even looked at once or twice by this, you know? And so after a couple of weeks went by and they were like, you know, submission timelines are closing. If you're going to submit, do it now. And I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to do it. So I had just written a song like a year and a half prior. I said, screw it. I'm going to submit it. So I did. I had a great video that we did in Concord, New Hampshire a handful of years ago. And I submitted the video, submitted my lyrics, all my information, and somehow, some way, there was almost a million artists and songwriters that had submitted to this Tractor Supply Emerging Artist Program, and I ended up as a top 10 finalist, which is insane.
Fantastic.
And never mind you, the only one from the Northeast, and mostly, I think there was like two or three other people in the top 10 that were not from the Nashville area. So that alone, I was like, man, we got some good stuff going on up here up the Northeast. We got to share it a little bit more with the world. So the next song I'm going to do is actually the song that I had submitted to that. And this song has kind of been the road paver for me for the last year. So this one's called Borrowed Time and kind of links a little bit, you know, to the childhood home thing, you know, where you're grown up and there's all these different things. And then you realize when you're older, things aren't necessarily as they used to be. And that's okay. I actually had played a song in played a show in Concord, New Hampshire. There was an older gentleman there. His name was Stephen Jha. And I've met him one other time since then. He had no idea that the song was about him. And within the song, it says, I met a man named Steven, and someone had approached him and said, did you hear that song she played? He's like, yeah, my name's Steven, too. And we're like, buddy, it's about you. And it was the cutest thing ever. But the first time I had met him, he was just by himself having a couple beers, and he came over to me as I was packing up, and he said, hey, I'm a musician, too. You know, I've done the songwriting thing. I'd love to sit and chat with you. So I said, sure. So we sat down after my show. We ended up talking about all sorts of crazy things. And, you know, he had met Johnny Cash one time and he used to write, you know, for bluegrass radio commercials and all this really cool stuff. He handed me his business card and we went on our way. And I woke up the next morning. Speaking of Lori McKenna, I woke up and I said, man, this song could really have a cool Lori McKenna vibe. I have to get this song and this conversation out in story form. And so I did just that. And this one's all about our conversation and the other half of the conversation about how time flies by. Now he's got grandkids. My daughter's 11 going on 35. And that's what this whole song is about. So this one's called Borrowed Time.
Let's hear it. We have April Cushman on the WATD Tiny Stage. Whenever you're ready, it's all yours.
Tear in his eye, he gave me can stop it on a dime. So raise your babies like there's no tomorrow. Love them like you're on borrowed time. Each line on his face told a story. All the people and places before. Swore he remembered everyone. He said, cherish every moment, 'cause before you know it, today will become what once was. 'Cause time flies by even when you least expect it. There ain't
April Cushman on the WATD Tiny Stage. Sounding great tonight. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This is a blast.
My pleasure. So the songs that we're hearing tonight, you said they're mostly new songs, mostly unreleased. What are the plans for these songs down the road? Do you want to eventually combine them into an EP or release them as individual singles? What's the plan?
Yeah, so Borrowed Time is actually one of the ones that is completely out there. After the whole Tractor Supply thing, I said, you know what, I'm going to record this and get that one out since this is kind of a hot commodity right now. So that one you can find everywhere. As far as the rest of the ones, you know, I'm probably going to play today for you. I'm gearing up for a record. I'm a big full album type of person, you know, singles here and there to kind of tease it. I've got some acoustic stuff out, but as far as those acoustic ones goes, those are going to be fully produced and on a full top to bottom big old record. So that's the plan.
Sounds great. We have a lot more to chat about, more songs to hear too. From April Cushman on the WATD Tiny Stage, we are going to take a very quick break. We're brought to you each week by Tiny and Sons Glass More Straight Ahead here on 95.9 WATD.
And now, back to Almost Famous on 95.9 WATD.
Welcome back to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England. Brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass, I'm John Shea. Happy May, it's our first show of May, and I'm being joined in studio tonight by singer-songwriter April Cushman. How you doing?
I'm good, I'm hanging in there.
good to hear. You are, as we're recording this, you are about to depart on a major trip to Iceland. So good luck with all of that. But
Thank you.
Somebody wants to stay up to date on all of your progress and anything in the future, where's the best place to find you?
AprilCushman.com. It's the hub for all the things.
Excellent. And if somebody's just hearing you for the very first time right now, introduce yourself. Who is April Cushman?
I am a small town New Hampshire country music songwriter, born and raised in New Hampshire and living on a farm with my daughter and my husband in Swansea.
And once you're back from Iceland and a slight, you know, journey around Europe and all that, you've got a show here on the South Shore. You're going to be at the Spire Center in Plymouth. That's happening on May 23rd. Give us the details.
I am. I am so excited to bring the whole band to the South Shore. So we've got all four of us and we're going to pack it in. And as far as I know, it's like almost halfway sold out now. So we're hoping to pack that in. It's part of the Lobby series. I do know if we sell that out, they will move us to the bigger room.
I was going to say, I heard from a reliable source at the Spire that says, you know, we need to push these tickets so we can get you onto the main stage.
Yeah,
so,
that's
so Dot, well, you know, we're making this happen for you. Give the band a plug. Who is going to be joining you that night?
Yeah, so it's going to be all four of us. It'll be myself. My acoustic guitarist is actually, he's going to be ripping up the electric guitar, Mr. Brad Myrick. My bass player, Dino Monoxalis. Everybody knows. I'm sure someone listening knows who Dino is. Dino's the man. Great, great bass player. And then our drummer, Phil Sico, who's actually from the Salem, Mass area, so he's not too far from here.
What is the April Cushman live experience like? What can we expect from you on stage
that
evening with the band?
Chaos. No, I'm kidding.
Good. Chaos is good.
Good chaos is always a good thing, right? These guys are, you know, they're so much fun to play with. And not only are they great human beings, but they're great musicians and they're hysterical and they keep me in line as much as they can, you know, and our live show is just, it's very tight. We've been playing these songs in and out, you know, behind the scenes for a little bit now. We have the ability to tell stories behind songs here and there. So, you know, we kill it. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not a very cocky person, but our set is pretty great. And then we do a little acoustic break in the middle. And then, you know, the guys come back out and we're throwing a couple covers in there that are big old country staples. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be great.
You've played a lot of gigs since I've known you.
Yeah.
Is there a favorite moment on stage that comes to mind?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I would have to say, and it wasn't even one of our shows, we actually had supported Scotty McCreery. It was my guitarist, Brad, and I, just an acoustic duo. It was at the Colonial Theater in Keene, New Hampshire. Keene's the next town over from where I'm at in Swansea. And so it was a lot of local people that were there. I walk out and there's all these fans that know me and know all my songs. And one of them had a sign and it said from small town to big stage because my first single is called In a Small Town. Swansea's a smaller town, you know. And I walked out and I was like almost in tears. I was like, how cool
That's
is
so
that?
Cool.
That is a cool moment, you know. And then having everybody know the words to your songs when you're singing, even if it's not, you know, they didn't come to see me. They came to see Scotty McCreery, you know, obviously. But that was a highlight for me as well. And that was actually one of Brad and I's first shows that we ever played together in that sort of setting. So that was a really awesome moment.
What is next from you?
This next song is another unreleased tune. Speaking of Nashville Nights and going over to Iceland, I got to write this with the person that runs Nashville Nights, as well as another songwriter who does a lot with Nashville Nights. He's actually over there for their spring tour all month and playing a bunch of shows. That's Trick Savage and Blue Foley. Great, great songwriters. They've got cuts with Ashley McBride, like a ton. A bunch with Lainey Wilson, with Cody Johnson, with Morgan Wallen. I mean, they've just got this massive line of just incredible songs that are going on with them. And Trick just played a show with Pam Tillis last week and just wrote with her too. And it's just, it's incredible to see your friends thriving and doing the thing down in Nashville and writing the great songs and getting all the cuts. It just inspires me so much. So we got into the room. The bad part about this story, or the less happy part about this song, even though it sounds like a fairly happy song, back in the fall, we had lost and experienced our first pet loss.
Ooh.
We've got three dogs right now. At the time, we had four, two shepherds and two dash hounds. We still have one of the shepherds and one of the dash hounds, but our old boy, his name is Olaf. He was a senior boy, and we woke up one morning, and he was gone. So that was a very, very hard thing to go through. And I remember one day I was just standing in the shower, just I'm like crying. You don't think it's going to be a big deal until you learn your first experience losing a dog. It was tough. And so I remember I was in the shower and I'm just crying. And I said out loud, I said, April, get it together. He's just a dog. And instantly the night I was like, bing, I was like, that's a good title. So I hopped out of the shower, getting water all over the house. And I'm texting Blue and Trick. And I said, just a dog. We have to write it. And all of a sudden they're like texting back. They're like, we're already crying. Like, this is great. And so we got into the room and we wrote this one top to bottom. So this song is basically just about that moment that you bring your dog home and you're like, oh yeah, it's cute, but it's just a dog. Like, it's fine. You know? And then when you lose your dog, you're going through the grief and the stages of grief and you're like, get through it. It's just a dog. But in the end you realize it wasn't just a dog.
So I'm a dog guy. Do I need tissues for
the
song?
Oh, yeah. Get your tissue box out, buddy. It's coming. But this one's called Just a Dog.
Let's hear it. April Cushman, The Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD.
Just a twinkle in those eyes staring at you from behind the kennel bar. Just a thing it took to get you hooked and down the road to where you are. Now it only seems like yesterday you were signing those adoption papers and wondering how it happened, how you felt, and telling your yourself. It's just a dog. Chewing shoes, stealing food, and barking at a varmint up a tree that you can't see. Fetching sticks and wet nose kisses, teaching you it's easy. Sometimes the only friend you've got at all is just a dog. He could jump up on the bed until he had to ask for help when he got old. Then you helped him say goodbye to the only nobody meets you at the door, and you're putting all the toys up on the shelf. So just tell yourself, it's just a dog.
April Cushman on the WATD Tiny Stage. Nice job. Sounding great tonight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Let's talk about songwriting. When did songwriting first become part of your life?
Oh, man. Honestly, I've only been writing for, I want to say, maybe the last 5 or 6 years. I ended up on a songwriting festival, actually, Martha's Vineyard.
Matt Casey.
Yes, with Matt Casey.
Just saw him last week.
Yes, at the Spire, right?
Yes, Lori McKenna. Cool.
With Lori McKenna, one of my, this is great. And so I signed up as a fresh writer. I think I had written like one random song that I made up on my stairs one day. And I was like, I want to learn how to do this. This is a really cool, important part. I don't just want to, you know, be singing Carrie Underwood covers for the next 50 years of my life. Like, I want to say what I want to say, not say what someone else had already said and had to say. So I went and I learned a whole lot. And my God, I want to say that was probably like 5 or 6 years ago. I actually met the photographer, Diana, who was there, and she's a songwriter as well, and then introduced me to Steve Smentek, that I had written Borrowed Time with and written a bunch of songs with. Actually, my first like whole record, The Long Haul, all but like 2-3 songs on that album, I actually co-wrote with Steve. So the line kind of went through, you know, and now I'm writing songs with one of the hit writers that was originally on that festival that I was on. It has been a wild journey of learning, experimenting, making mistakes, being told I suck, being told I'm great. Like, it's all part of the journey, but I've still got a long way to go and still learning, but it has progressed a whole lot. I think the most important part, you know, when it comes to songwriting is being able to authentically and unapologetically say what you feel and talk about the things that you've gone through. And, you know, you'll notice a trend here with all of my songs. It's all conversations. It's all things that I've actually heard and had conversations with people and the things that we've talked about. It's things that I have personally gone through and, you know, been a backseat watching other people go through. And it's the real stuff. So I think that's the cool part. You know, we can relate to all these covers that we're playing and singing and doing, you know, at shows. But when it comes to being a songwriter, I think the cool part about it is you can share your story in song, and then in turn, other people can relate to that and connect to it. And so it's almost like how we feel about listening to covers and stuff on the radio, being able to then in turn be that radio for somebody else and change their lives and help their lives for better or help them get good things. The one word that comes to mind when it comes to being a songwriter and songwriting in general is magic.
I want to hear more songs. What are we listening to next?
So this next song is another unreleased tune. I wrote this with the same guys that I wrote Just a Dog with, Trick Savage and Blue Foley. It was originally called He Don't Know That Yet. And it was originally, you know, something I was like, let's write this, let's pitch it. I'm like still on that road to like getting a cut one day. That's like a big, big goal of mine. And then we got in the room and I was like, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's write this about my daughter. And I remember when we brought her home from the hospital, I remember sitting in her nursery and I was sitting in my rocking chair and it's like this 3-day-old baby. And I remember looking at her and just going, how can we fit in 3 minutes what it feels like to be a new mom holding this tiny 5-pound thing? And you're like, oh my God, these are all the things that she doesn't know yet. She's going to learn how to tie her shoes. She's going to learn about heartbreak. She's going to learn about all these things. And then go along as quickly and as seamlessly as possible into what is it going to be when she's my age and she has her own kids and she's married and then she calls me for advice. And we're like, man, how can we do this? And then it ended up just being probably one of my favorite songs that I've ever written thus far in my career. So this is completely unreleased. I've been playing it during our acoustic breaks, our show. This one will be part of the acoustic break at the Spire. This one's called She Don't Know That Yet.
Let's hear it. We have April Cushman on the Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD. Fantastic. April Cushman here on the Tiny Stage.
Thank you.
95.9 WATD. We touched briefly upon influences, but talk about who you grew up listening to and who you're listening to today.
Oh, man. Probably still one of my all-time favorite artists, you know, Melissa Etheridge, Sheryl Crow, James Taylor, just all the good stuff. All the good stuff, you know, from the 90s classic rock stuff and folk and acoustic stuff. That really honestly has kind of been, you know, I still listen to those guys. I still listen to the Eagles on absolute repeat. Take It Easy is one of my favorite songs of all time. And Desperado, it's so good. Even today, a lot of the country artists that I listen to are not necessarily the most mainstream pop country thing. They're like the more Ashley McBride type of artist, you know, the ones that can just absolutely pull on your heartstrings and tell a dang good story. You know, she's got a song called Blackout Betty, and it's like heavy, you know, so it's like going from those influences like the Eagles, like Sheryl Crow, to people like Ashley McBride, Lainey Wilson. It's the storytelling, but it's also the country rooted with the rock.
What's a song you wish you had written?
Oh, that's a great question. The first one that comes to mind, honestly, it's such a great tune, but Let Him Fly. Patty Griffin.
Yes. Another local artist.
Oh my God. That song.
Is she from Maine or New Hampshire?
I don't know.
I think she's from Maine.
Is she? See, there's all this talent coming out of New England. There's so much good stuff up here. Everyone needs to get on board. Man, Let Him Fly pulls out your heart, even if you can't relate to it. Man, that song is just like, you put yourself in this mindset of this story of this woman, and it's like, on top of her vocals and just everything. Oh, that song is definitely like, we just were talking about it, you know, yesterday. It's iconic. And if you don't know it, you should know it.
I'm loving all these stories, but I want to hear more music too. What is next?
This next song I wrote with Blue Foley as well. I met him down at the Island Hopper Festival down in Florida back in September. His name is Rob Snyder, not Rob Schneider. He was like, hey, he actually heard Borrowed Time, and we played around together. And he comes up to me after we were done playing. He goes, that's a good song. We should write together. Here's my number. Reach out to me. And so it took me a little bit. I was like, he's got like 3 number one Luke Combs cuts, like phenomenal, phenomenal writer. I was a little hesitant because I'm like, shoot, like this is Rob Snyder. Like I can't just casually text him, but I did. I was like, whatever. Egos aside, super nice guy. We ended up getting on a date to write together. And I said, hey, I got this friend of mine, just like Trick did for me. I said, I have this friend of mine. He's a great writer. He's got a bunch of cuts with Ashley and everything. And I'm like, is it okay if I pull him in? He goes, yeah, sure. Who is it? And I said, Blue Foley. And he goes, man, he's like, Blue Foley and I have been trying to write for like 15 years in this damn town. Let's do it. I love that guy. So 3 of us got in a room. We actually wrote at Luke's publishing company at 50 Egg down in Nashville. Whipped this one out in an hour and a half. And this basically is a big old hats off to everybody that kind of helped me get to where I'm going. So this one's called Hell of a Home Team.
Let's hear it. April Cushman on the Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD.
Seems like yesterday I was on his knee, bouncing along, learning to sing, B-side vinyl on John Prine, Daddy. Me in the bar when I was 13, my heart started catching them small town dreams. Daddy was the man in mama's minivan, and we started a band, and now here I am, sending up prayers to the man upstairs, and I'm learning love can be found anywhere, right here in this house, here in this crowd. It ain't hard to see that as long as I'm here on the side, Daddy's girl grew up on the road, met a real good man, had a girl of our own, sang hey diddle diddle while she was dreaming, slowed down for a little but never quit singing, burned both ends the best I could, running in circles and knocking on wood, only shortcut I took was a long way around, and it got me right here right now, sending up prayers to the man.
April Cushman, The Tiny Stage, 95.9 WATD. So something I've been dying to ask you since I've known you. Tonight's the night, apparently.
Let's do it.
You dropped this earlier in the evening, but you're a farmer.
I am.
What is the typical day in the life of April Cushman when it comes to running the farm?
Some days it's easy. Some days it breaks your heart. We do a lot of goat breeding. Our farm is primarily Nigerian dwarf goats. So we have got God knows how many goats at this point. The thing with goats, it's like everybody loves a goat. Everyone thinks it's adorable. I think they're like the best animal on planet Earth. But even more recently, the hardest part about farming in general, especially with animals, is when something doesn't go the way it's supposed to, it breaks your heart. And so we've had a lot of goats born on the farm. And just this kidding season, the last month and a half, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 5 kids right now, all ranging between like 2 weeks and 3 months. And we lost 4. And it's like, man, it's just like, it's just a dog. It's just a goat, right? Like, who cares? But it's like when you go out and you see these mama goats like struggling and then they're just giving birth to, you know, these babies that are already gone. It's like, and they just sit there and they cry. They're like, where are my babies? And it just breaks your heart. You know, these animals have so much emotion and such souls that it's like they know when their babies are gone. And it's really, really sad.
Aww.
And so one of the first one that we had give birth, she actually had quads, which is extremely rare. Normally, most of them are stillborn or they just don't make it, right? So we went out. We're like, oh, my God, it's freezing. It was like early March, and we're like, what is happening? Like, these goats are like 3 to 5 weeks early. Like, that's not good. Those couple of weeks really help with the maturity and the development of these animals. And we went out, and my husband's like, I found 3 of them. They were born dead. They were already gone. They were already cold, like, had no chance. There's one in there. She's wrapped in a towel. It's a doe. She's not going to make it. She's lifeless. And I said, absolutely not. So I ran in the house. I got 2 towels. I went in there and she was just like head flopped back. If you didn't see her slightly breathing, you would think that she was already gone. Her mouth was cold, which is a really bad sign. And I said, the hell, this thing's going to go on my watch. So I grabbed it. The mom's screaming in the stall. She's like, what happened? Like, super upset. And I ran in the house. I took my hair dryer. I took like a heating wrap that you like put for your back when your back's not feeling good. And I put that on the counter. And the thing with all animals, you know, you have to stimulate them. So you're like rubbing them really, really hard to get their blood moving and keep their heart moving. And she was lifeless, absolutely lifeless. And I said, I got to get a bottle in this baby. Like, there's no way this. And my husband's like, she's not going to make it, April. Like, just let it go. Like, this is part of farming. You see the great side where you walk in and these kids are already, you know, up jumping around and they're happy and screaming and like everything's going great. And then this is the hard part. And it's okay to let them go. This is part of nature. And this is what happens. And I said, absolutely not. So I spent, I want to say, 5 hours before she finally could hold her own head up. And she's still here. I actually was talking to Blue about it. And we're like, yeah, she's the greatest of all time. She's the goat. And then I was like, yeah, the goat Tina. And so we named her Tina. We make all kinds of Napoleon Dynamite jokes about her. But, you know, she was in our house. I was bottle feeding her for like 4 or 5 days and then put her back out with her mom. Her mom did take her back.
That's great.
And she was like so excited to see her. But we were like, wow, that's really awesome. But we had her like in diapers and she's jumping around the house. And, you know, our dash hounds love baby goats. Again, it's like farming is a really rewarding thing, but it's also like sometimes it's hard. You know, you're losing your crops, you're losing your baby goats. So it's a weird thing to go through. But honestly, it's cool to see like our daughter learn about life and death and be there when the babies are born and learn about everything that comes after the birthing of babies and what the moms do and why this works the way that it does and why it's like this. There's a lot of great lessons that come in with farming, life and death and everything in between.
That is April Cushman, the guest tonight on the WATD Tiny Stage. We have to take one final break. I think we have time for one more song. Does that work for you?
Let's do it.
All right. Back in just a few here on 95.9 WATD.
And now, back to Almost Famous on 95.9 WATD.
For the final time tonight, welcome back to the Almost Famous Tiny Stage Hour, 95.9 WATD. I'm John Shea, introducing you to independent bands and musicians from across New England, brought to you by Tiny and Sons Glass, being joined in studio tonight for the final time by April Cushman. How you doing?
I'm doing great, John. Thank you so much for having me be part of this. This has been a wonderful experience.
My pleasure. Thanks for making this work. It's been a long time coming.
Of course, it worked out perfectly. I just happened to be in the area.
Where can you be found online? Share with us your website, the socials, all that good stuff so people can follow along and stay up to date with what you're up to.
So the hub of everything, music schedule, merch, music, all those things, always aprilcushman.com. I kind of forward everyone there. But I am on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. I don't really know what I'm doing on TikTok. It's kind of a hot mess on there. It's not necessarily
for now,
music
until it's gone.
Exactly, until it's no longer there. But Instagram and Facebook, you know, are definitely my two social media hotspots. And everything's just under April Cushman.
And a bunch of music up on the streaming sites there. And an upcoming show date, May 23rd at the Spire Center in Plymouth. Give us the details.
You got it. So I'm so excited to bring the band over to the South Shore. So we're going to be in Plymouth, Mass at the Spire Center on Thursday, May 23rd. I believe doors are at 6:30. We start at 7:30. It's a 90-minute original set. We're going to be telling some stories, playing all our original songs, and it's a little over halfway sold out. So if you want to get their tickets, aprilcushman.com is the place to go, or you can just go to the Spire Center.
Yeah, spirecenter.org, I think, is the website, too.
I believe you're right. Yep.
Here's the deal about the Spire Center is right now it's a lobby show, but it very well could be a main stage show if we sell enough tickets. So
yeah, there's 70 tickets for the lobby show. If we get to 70, they're going to push us into the big church room, and it's...
The sound is amazing.
Breathtaking. I couldn't even imagine the sound on top of just the aesthetics of it. It's gorgeous. It's
yes,
so
it
nice.
Is. We have time for one more song before we close things out. What's it going to be?
You know, I was going to play another original, but I'm feeling inspired by talking about the artists that kind of inspire me today and back in the day, so... I'm going to play a cover for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Ashley McBride. Again, Blue Foley is one of her bigger co-writers, and she co-writes a lot with a gentleman named CJ Field, who's actually right in North Adams, Mass. Trick Savage, another one of my co-writers, he writes a ton with Ashley as well. She and I actually had on the books a write when we did write Just a Dog. She's supposed to be joining us, but she had an emergency with one of her dogs, so she couldn't make it. So we're still
honorary
trying to,
credit.
Honorary credit, exactly. Ashley was in spirit writing this song with us. But we're working on some dates to get together in a room, and hopefully, you know, I'll have a co-write with Ashley very soon. And so this song kind of sums up everything for me. I think her as an artist as well, and seeing how far and how long her road has been and kind of where she's going. And, you know, no matter who tells you can't do what you're set out to do and what you believe is in your soul to do as far as your career and who you are as a person, and then telling them, the hell with you, I'm going to do it anyways. This is kind of her big breakthrough song that really... started everything for her. Now she's on the Devil I Know tour, and she's selling out all over the place. She was just in Ireland. She's, you know, over in that area, and now she's back in the U.S. And I think she's coming back here to the Cape area for two shows in August as well. So she'll be back in the area again. This song speaks to me as a thriving emerging artist, and it just happens to be by one of my favorite gals.
Well, let's hear it. Thank you again for making this work. Best of luck with the tour.
Thank you.
And hopefully we'll see you on the 23rd at the Spire.
Well, thank you, John. I will see you there.
95.9 WATD, one final time on the tiny stage, April Cushman.
Don't waste your life behind that guitar. Make it gone, but you won't get far. You're not the first, you won't be the last. And you can tell us all about it when you come crawling back. That road you're on just winds and winds, spinning wheels, wasting your time. When the lights come up and I hear the band, and where they sit, I'll never be exactly where I am. I hear the crowd, I look around, I can't find one empty chair. Not bad for a girl going nowhere. Heard your song.